I want to thank Alice for being willing to step up and do the offertory this morning. I was afraid that with my filling in as a minister and music minister that it would become like watching a tennis match with me going back and forth. So I thank you to Farron and Dominique and Alice for filling extra shoes this morning and making this a little easier. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Luke 7, and it's verses 1 through 10. When he had completed all his discourses in the hearing of his people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion's slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his servant. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation. It was him who built us our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them. And when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends out, saying, "Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And another one, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him, and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." And when those had been sent, had returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our minds and our hearts to your word today and to your message. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you and honor you this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, there was this tightrope walker who did incredible aerial feats all over Paris. He would do these tightrope acts at tremendously scary heights. And he had succeeding acts. After going across the tightrope, he would do it blindfolded. Then he would go across the tightrope blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow while blindfolded across the tightrope. An American promoter read about this in the papers, and he wrote a letter to the tightrope walker saying, "Tightrope walker, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer for a very substantial sum of money. Besides all your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls." The tightrope walker wrote back, "Sir, although I've never been to America or seen the falls, I'd love to come." Well, after a lot of promotion and setting this whole thing up, many people came out to see the events. The tightrope walker started on the Canadian side and was to progress over to the American side. There were drum rolls and excitement, and he came across the tightrope, which was suspended on the most treacherous parts of the falls, and he came across blindfolded. And he made it across easily. The crowds went wild, and he came to the promoter and said, "Well, Mr. Promoter, do you now believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I believe it. I just saw it." "No," said the tightrope walker, "do you really believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. You just did it." "No, no, 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 no," said the tightrope walker. "Do you really believe I can do it?" "Yes," said the promoter. "I believe you can do it." "Good," said the tightrope walker. "Now you can get in the wheelbarrow." It's a nice story. How often do we say we have faith in Jesus Christ, but we're probably not willing to get in the wheelbarrow? The centurion in our story had this exceptional kind of faith. Now, I want to look at the facts first that we get from this story. We have a centurion with a servant near death, and the centurion wishes for the servant to be healed. The story takes place in Capernaum, which is where a majority of Jesus' ministry took place. So the reputation of Jesus and this teacher that can heal had probably reached the centurion by now, and he believes that he can heal his servant. What do we know about a centurion historically? We know they were military personnel with leadership, and despite the name, they typically had 60 to 80 men under their care, not 100, even though the name centurion. They were paid decent wages. They were Roman citizens. They were Gentiles. They were not allowed to marry while in service. So it was very common for their servants and their household slaves to become like family to them, because it was the only family that they had while in service. So the fact that he wants the healing for this, has this compassion and wants the healing for his slave, is really not that unusual. What do we know about the centurion from the Jews in the story? Well, from them we learn that there is something very unusual about this centurion. They know that he has been generous to them. The centurion has funded the building of their synagogue. And it is for this reason that the Jewish leaders see him as worthy of the healing that he's requesting for his servant. Yet, they also see him as a Gentile. He is an outsider. He is not part of their community of faith. In fact, he's even considered unclean. So why, might you ask, has he done this for his Jewish community? He's on the outside looking in. He cannot worship with them. Jesus cannot even technically enter his home because it's unclean, and it would be improper for a rabbi to enter the home of an unclean Gentile. Is it possible that we have something to learn about how we treat and care for others that are outside our community of faith? The centurion did not have to build them a synagogue. He didn't have to build them anything. All he really had to do was tolerate them, which is what we typically do with people that we don't get along with, right? We just tolerate them. But he went way beyond tolerance, and he crossed the line to loving his local Jewish community. And notice the centurion doesn't use this past generosity as a trump card for getting the healing that he wants. It's actually the Jewish leaders that are saying, look, based on his good works, he's worthy of this healing. But in verse 6, the centurion sends word and he says, I am not worthy. I am not worthy for Jesus to even come under my roof. How often do we base the worthiness of others on the acts that they've done? How about we look at the centurion the way Jesus saw him in this story? Jesus sees a centurion man who's generous and who expects nothing in return for his kindness. He sees a man that has crossed cultural lines and gone out of his way to love his neighbors, the Jews, while he remains on the outside. He sees a man that has compassion for his slave who is like family to him. But most importantly, he sees a man that has so much faith that he believes Jesus can heal his servant without even arriving at the door. You see, Jesus and the centurion, they never meet in this passage. Almost all of the communication in this story takes place by third parties. Did you know we have this group of, Jewish elders that's getting messages to Jesus, and the centurion is sending out messengers and friends to meet Jesus and give him another message? All the communication takes place by third party. The centurion and Jesus actually don't ever meet. Jesus performs a long-distance miracle, and those would be considered exceptional miracles. Before I get into all the lessons that can be learned from the centurion in this story, and believe me, in these 10 verses, there is a lot packed in there. But before I get to that, I want to look at this kind of faith that he has. What does the centurion get that the people of Israel don't? What does he get that we don't get? Well, the centurion says it himself. He says, "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, with soldiers under me. I say, come, they come. I say, go, they go. I tell a servant to do this, and they do this." The centurion is a military leader, and he knows what it means to recognize authority. Some of you know that my husband is a naval reservist. He's been in the Navy Reserves for the last 8 years. And if there's one thing you learn in the military still to this day, it is you carry out orders. You do what you're told. Doesn't matter how dumb the order is. And there have been some times where he's rolled his eyes because he knew it was a dumb idea. But you do it anyway. And you do it recognizing that the one giving you the order has been given the authority to do so by that branch of the military. The centurion knew this kind of authority. And somehow, he recognized that authority in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had the authority of God. And somehow the centurion recognized that he spoke with the authority of God of the Jewish community that he was living in. This was the point being made to Jesus' listeners and audience. They did not yet recognize him as God. They were getting close to recognizing him at about prophet status at this point in his ministry. But no one was recognizing him as having the authority of God. Those being taught right in front of Jesus didn't recognize who he was. But a centurion that never met him did. Those in the nation of Israel did not recognize that Jesus had the authority of God, but a Gentile did. So there's a lot of things we can get out of this story. And this story does also appear in Matthew 8. If you ever want to look at the two stories side by side, Matthew 8 and Luke 7, they're similar. There's a couple differences, but for the most part, they're the same. I'll leave you with a few things. One, have the generosity of that centurion. And when I say that, I don't mean have generosity where you give a lot, although I'm sure the stewardship committee would love it if you did. What I'm actually referring to is when you give from your heart and don't expect anything in return. Also, have the generosity to reach out to those outside your inner circle. The love of God is not just in this room of this body of believers, but he's out there. The centurion was out there. He wasn't part of the community of faith, yet he had the faith in the authority of God. So reach out to those people. Don't just stay within your inner circle. Number two, do not judge others by the magnitude of their good works. And don't judge yourself by the magnitude of your good works. Because as you notice in this story, neither Jesus nor the centurion cared about his good works. That wasn't what got the healing to happen. Lastly, focus on what was important to Jesus and the centurion in this story. Have that kind of faith. Have the faith that recognizes the authority of Jesus Christ in this world and in your life, so that you don't just believe that the tightrope walker can make it across, but be willing to get in the wheelbarrow. Alleluia and amen.
Please stand and join with me in singing our closing hymn.